I want to use this morning some scripture out of the Old Testament. And it's a very, very familiar person in the Word of the Lord. One that probably most of us cannot much more than just in our minds relate to, because he had such an unusual experience. A fellow by the name of Job. And I'm sure that you're all familiar with the word that he was a man that God himself said is a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. When Satan had presented himself along with the sons of God in the presence of God, and they were talking, why, the Lord asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And obviously, Satan said, "You know, I go up and down in the world all the time." And one of the writers wrote and said he goes up and down seeking whom he may devour. And obviously that is Satan's goal, is to devour the souls of men, to damn them to the regions of hell. And certainly is doing a tremendous job of that. Unfortunately for him, there is a power that is greater and above him, and that is the power of God Almighty, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan said unto the Lord, he said, "You know, why doesn't he fear you? Why doesn't he serve you? You've got him hedged in, you've got him protected, and you've got him to where that I can't have access to him." And the Lord said, "All right." He said, "You can take him and do whatever you choose with him, excepting you cannot take his life." And you may remember from the word of the Lord that the first thing that happened was is that Job was in his house. He had a wonderful family, 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a very prosperous man. He had thousands of heads of livestock, and was, as the Lord said, a God-fearing man. His sons took turns, and one each day would have the rest of the family at their homes. Job every day would go before the Lord and offer his offerings unto the Lord, and not only for him, but for his family. And he said, "You know, just peradventure that maybe they have failed, or they've made an oversight. Why, I want to be sure that they're taken care of." As he was in his house, you may remember that one day he received word from one of the servants that the livestock had been destroyed. One by one, servants came in and told him what was happening. After that, the servant came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking, and they have been killed, all of them." It is beyond, I think, probably our comprehension to understand how much of an impact that would have made on any individual's life, and it certainly did on Job. However, the word of the Lord says that Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Bible says again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them. And finally, after the Lord had asked him again the second time about his servant Job, he said, "You know, everything a man will do for his own life." And the Lord said, "You can take him and do whatever you want to with him, but you cannot take his life." I think there's probably some lessons for us in each one of these things, but The important thing that I want you to understand this morning is that there are probably none of us who are experiencing near as serious of problems in our lives as there are other people who are. But we must be extremely careful that we do not come across as being special, that we aren't experiencing those things, because I will guarantee you that there's not a one of us who are exempt from some very tragic things in our lives. Then Job was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, to the soles of his feet. And he went out and he sat down and he sat in sackcloth and ashes, and he took him a potsherd to scrape the boils with to get some relief. And his wife came out and said, "You know, why don't you just curse God and die?" It wasn't enough that he had lost all of his herds. He had lost all of his family. But his wife was now coming out and saying to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Enough's enough. Enough is enough." There are none of us who know when enough is enough. There are times when we may want to say that, and there are times we may say it. But I can assure you this morning that there are none of us who know. And Job said to her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish. Shall we not receive both good and evil at the hands of the Lord?" And in that, he never charged God foolishly. Word spread as to what was happening in Job's life. And he had three friends, or at least they were represented as friends, who heard about his situation. And so they came together to see what they could do to help Job. Now, just let me caution every one of you as a child of God this morning that unless you can honestly and truthfully put yourself in the other person's position, be extremely careful as to when you reach that capacity that you feel you're qualified to advise them as to what they should do in their situation. Amen. It is very easy for us to be able to tell someone else what they should do. It's a different thing if it's we are the one who's experiencing it. I used to keep a sign. I've said this before. I used to keep a sign on my desk, and it was just a little reminder to me. And it said, "It is easy to radiate faith when it is someone else's hell." I want you to think about that a minute. It's easy to radiate faith when it's someone else's hell. And there are a lot of people who are going through pure hell in their lives this morning. Now, I'm not using that as profanity. I'm saying that as an example of just how much tragedy and how much turmoil and how much people are going through today. You and I, as a child of God, of all people, should be compassionate, should be understanding, and should be as helpful as we possibly can. But my caution again, let us be extremely careful that we are being helpful rather than hurtful. I find that many times, you know, and one of the things that comes to my mind most often is that, and I hear it probably as much, I hear it more often than I want to, is that you'll hear someone who has some serious illness, And as sure as can be, someone else will come along and say, oh, yes, so-and-so, I know so-and-so, they had that and they died from it. Well, that's really what you want to hear. And they're trying to be comforting, I guess. And I feel, why in the world do you have to say some dumb thing like that, you know? But that's just an example of times, many times, you know. We don't think sometimes, people. And if we're not awful careful, it's very easy to leave the impression that because that person is going through this tragedy or tragic experience in their life, that we are so blessed that we aren't experiencing that. We are truly blessed. Don't misunderstand me there. And we should always thank the Lord for that, that we are as blessed as we are. But let me tell you, sometimes we can very easily leave the impression with that other person, well, we know why you're experiencing that. And so Job's friends, when they came to see him, first of all, they were absolutely astonished at what they saw when they got there. Here he was. He was a pitiful person to see in this situation. You've got to keep in mind, this was a very proud man. This was a very successful man. This was a man who it seemed like had everything going for him. And in one day like that, it's gone. You think for a single second that we wouldn't feel broken if we were in that situation? My goodness, there are times whenever we cry and moan and groan and carry on something pathetic, when we have one little thing that goes wrong in our lives, like that old poor little me. Why am I having to experience this? The Bible says that when these three men got there and they saw Job, they were for a little while, they were speechless. And they sat there with him for 7 days and there was no communication. They were just there. And that probably was the best time they had with Job of all the time they were there. Because their intentions, as good as they were absolutely wrong. I hear people say, everyone's, well, she means well, or he means well, they meant well. And we try to justify whatever it is by their good intentions. And I always tell people every once in a while, that old boy that reached out there to touch the cart when the ark was about to fall off of it, and he was going to keep it from falling off of the cart, he had good intentions. He meant well, but he got struck dead because he was not the person who was supposed to be touching it. I think many times, as Spurgeon said, many a soul is sent to hell by a well-meaning Christian. Well-intentioned, I believe, is the word he used. Well-intentioned Christian. We sometimes mean well, but when we think we mean well, we've done more damage than we've done good. And so Job's three friends, as they sat there and they observed him, begin to speak one at a time and gave their opinion and their evaluation as to why this was happening to Job. How many times do I hear and do you hear Christians analyzing why something has happened to someone else? And we're always looking to see what the bad is that caused this to come to pass. Remember, the disciples were no exception to this. Whenever that they came up on the blind boy, and they were there with the Lord, and as they were passing by, the disciples said to the Lord, Lord, who did sin? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, we get this idea that because this young man, old man, I don't know what he was. I always call him a young man. Bible doesn't say specifically. His parents were still alive, but he could have still been 60 years old, I guess, and his parents been alive. But they said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither hath he sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Now, Jesus was not saying he is perfect and he was without sin. What he was saying was, is he's not sinned that caused this blindness to be upon him. Nor did his parents sin that he was born blind. Now, it's not punishment. Keep in mind, Job was in this situation because God had allowed it. There is a permissive will of God. And sometimes we don't seem to remember that. God does allow some things to happen. Listen to people when they pray. How many times do you hear them pray instead of saying, Lord, don't move that mountain? That's that song, what's her name? Bennett. Sings, don't move the mountain, help me to climb it. That's the gist of it. You know, we're always wanting the Lord to remove the mountain, take it away. Oh Lord, don't let me get sick. Don't let me have this. Don't. We never say, Lord, give me the grace, give me the strength to be able to go through. The psalmist David said, yea, so I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, Lord, don't make me go through that valley. No. He said, I will go through it. I'm going to go through it. Lord, give me the grace. Job was here because God had said, you can do whatever you want to him, but you cannot take his life. There are some things that God reserves for himself that are not within the power of man or of Satan to do anything about. And these men begin to explain then. And the very first one, you know, he says, well, I'll tell you what now. If you'd had the experience that I've had, if you'd had the vision that I had and you had seen what I've seen, this wouldn't be the situation that you're in right now. I've got a special dispensation. Ever so often, I hear God's people talking about things that God has done for them. And I think, boy, he sure changed me. I sure never got any of that. I must not be doing anything at all, Ronnie. Let me tell you something. Be careful when you start hearing about all these exaggerations of what people have had happen to them that the Lord has done. And that nobody else has had it. Nobody else has seen it. Nobody else has experienced it excepting them. You want to know who usually they're talking about? They're not talking about the Lord. They're talking about them. Yeah, man. And this old boy, he starts out and he says, you know, if you'd have had the experience I had, whenever that I'd seen this vision, you know, and man, the hair of my back stood up and everything, you know, he said, you'd understand then why you're in this situation. The second old boy, he speaks up and he said, oh, you know what? He said, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, Joe. That's why all this is happening to you. You're saying one thing and you're doing another thing. And that's why this is happening to you. The servant said, no. He's not a hypocrite. He's a liar. He's not only a hypocrite, he is a liar. Now, what kind of friends are these? They're here telling him, this is why this is all happening to you, Job. This is what your problem is. Oh, they didn't just come out and say it in those words. They didn't just come out and say, well, you're a liar. But that's what they in effect, they did. One of them did say that. He said, you know, you're lying. Now, listen, I want you, I'm going to get to my scripture here this morning. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Listen to that. Job says, I've heard many things here. Miserable comfortables are you all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. what Job's saying, let's just reverse this situation. You all are miserable comforters. You haven't helped me one lick. And you know what? If we just had our roles reversed, I could do the same thing you're doing. Shirley had a sign that hung up in her room, and in her bathroom, that said, "Don't criticize another person till you've walked a mile in their shoes." And then it goes ahead and says, "And if then you criticize them and they're not happy, they'll be a mile down the road farther and barefoot." So I think probably we sometimes just need to remember that. We need to be careful. Job said, you know, you're miserable comforters. They thought they were giving him, they were telling him all, they gave him good explanation. Now you can't get this in 3 minutes. You're going to have to go back and read several chapters here to see what each of these men said. And in between each of their diagnosis of Job's situation, why he responds to them. And then this is what he said, "But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips would assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. And though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he has made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me. And my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gapped upon me with their mouths. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked." Now listen, oh Job, the Bible says that Job never charged God foolishly. But I want you to know he wished the day had never been that he was born. He said, "I wish it had just, God had just blotted it out and it had never been." You think for a single second there weren't some times that Job was frustrated and that he was feeling pretty down and pretty blue? Absolutely. Listen to what he says. "I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with a breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defile my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in mine hands. Also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. Also now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return." I just think old Job, as he's here and he's listening to these people, And says, "You know what? You people are not much comfort to me. And I readily admit that I am as a dust. I readily admit that I have a short amount of time. And that one of these days that I'm going to go on But I want you to know that my record is on high. We all know that the latter end of Job's life was more blessed, that God blessed him more than he had in the beginning. But let me tell you something. That didn't ease his pain. That didn't ease his suffering. That didn't ease what he was going through right at the time. And old Job had to go through it. And he did go through it. He retained his integrity. But I can assure you, there were moments and there were times from his own words that he questioned, why? Why was this happening to him? I think there are many times that people would like to have that answer, and there are no answers. We do not understand, and we have to acknowledge that. But let us be careful that we don't need to think that we've got all the answers either, because there are times whenever we do not have the answer for what's going on in the other person's life. All we can do is say, Lord, you are all power, over all, above all, and you're the one who can help them through the situation they're in.